test to see if you're here. Good morning. How do you follow that? Worship time. I had a good time. What about you guys?
Amen.
Good time. Oh, speaking of time, I've been asked to speak this morning as we're going through the series, continuing the series, and it's the generosity of, everybody say it with me, time. It's the ticking clock for those of you. It's the third one over. I'm from Arkansas. It's that way, okay? So I'm going to be speaking to you today about the generosity of time. Wow, you know the Spirit of God is so strong and you come in here like this. Now, I'm going to speak to you about the generosity of time. Let me ask you a question. As you were up here during worship, those of you who were here in the whole place, were you concerned about what time it was? Did you know what time it was? Did you know how long we went this morning on the worship team? I don't either. I don't have a clue. If I looked at it, we probably went 45 minutes. I'm just guessing. Something like that. But time, when you're in the presence of the Lord, seems to do what? It seems to just, it's non-existent. We're not concerned about this thing called time. And time is an interesting thing. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, I don't know if I gave him that verse or not. I said, I'm just going to give you a few verses. How many did I give you? 30? But anyway, in Genesis 1, 14, we see that God began to set time in order. He said he made the night and the day, and then he made it, you know, morning and night or whatever, and then the times begin to take place in Genesis 1:14. That's when we begin to see time begin to happen. Now, you got to think about God for a second. God, there is no time with God. Revelation 21 says he was in the beginning and he's in the end. So there's no beginning of God and there is no end of God. So time to the Lord, he's above space and time, so he can just come in and go out and do whatever he needs to do. But we live in this thing called, say it with me,
time.
So time can end up becoming a constraint to us. It can be something that begins to control us. And we begin to then say, I'm going to control my time. So as I was looking at the Word and trying to, you know, there's a plethora of angles you can approach this generosity of time. If you go to the Scripture, I was talking to Robert this morning as we were coming here, I said, if you go to the Bible and say, okay, God, where does it say I need to be generous with my time? I need that verse. Oh, yeah, 1 Craig 1:3. Be generous. It's not necessarily that generous with your time in the Scripture. However, there are a lot of verses and a lot of things about God that I want to kind of look at today to show us of what time is and what God says about our what?
Our time.
I cannot hear you. Our
time.
You know how old I am? I really can't hear you. How our
time.
Thank you. These are blonde highlights, by the way. They are not gray. I don't need that. So time was established by who? By God himself. So when God established time, guess what he did? He graciously came to Philip and says, Philip, I'm going to give you life. And then I'm going to give you this beautiful lady called Kaylin. And you said, amen. All right. And so he gave you time on this earth. He graciously gave you time. He's given me time. He's given me 27, 28 years. I mean, it's been incredible. Blonde highlights, remember? He's given me my wife for how long? Maybe 10, 11? 30? 30 years. Okay, so 30 years she has stuck it out with me. And my sister-in-law has had, oh, my sister-in-law's here today. Tamara, you can't tell they're sisters or anything. She's sitting right beside her, her twin. Yes, my sister-in-law has known me for 30 years. Bless her pee-pick and sweet little heart. So she can tell you stories, but please don't go to them afterwards. So God gives us time graciously because he loves us. And God gives us this life. And in Psalm 31:15, the Word says, did I give you that one? If not, I can get there faster than you can. Oh, I'm good. Psalm 31:15 says what? It says, My times are in thy hand. My times, God, are in your hand. My times are in your hand. I want you to say that with me. My times are in your hand. Let's say it again. My times are in your hand. So if God says my times are in your hand, this is just me. I'm a simple guy. That's telling me that my times are in God's hands. So what I do, where I go, and all those things, God's got my times in His hands. And it says, deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. So during your times, possibly you could get in the hands of some enemies. Possibly, you know, they might try to persecute you, but they're asking, God, deliver me. But God, the times that you have are in the hand of God. Which brings me to this point. As I was studying, trying to get this prepared and trying to think about this angle, I'm going, how do we get to this generosity of our time? And so, you know, our pastor's always taught us, as he speaks, that really, your life isn't your life. Is it? If you've come after Jesus, your life really doesn't belong to you. Your life really belongs to the Father through the Son Jesus and our relationship with Jesus Christ. We belong to our Father, to Jesus. We belong to Jesus the Son. We belong to our Heavenly Father. So that being the case, if we belong to the Heavenly Father, if we belong to Jesus, then everything that we are belongs to Him. Our home, our talent, our gifts, our ability, our time, our time. So really, ultimately, our time is not my time, is it? Our time really belongs to what the Father tells me to do with that time. You see where I'm going? So the Word teaches us that in 1 Corinthians 6, did I give you that one? I don't even know what all I gave you. Try that one, 1 Corinthians 6. Let me see if we've got that one. 1 Corinthians 6 says this. It says, but he that is joined into the Lord is one spirit. It's you and I. For all of us in this room that have joined our lives to Him, we are one spirit. Flee fornication, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Let's continue. 18. Okay, go to the next. Did I give you more? Let's go to the next one. 19. Or know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? I'll say that one time. Know ye not that your body, this thing that you guys have to look at, is the temple of the Holy Spirit that dwells in me. And he goes, which you have from God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body. Did I give you some more? Or is that it? That's all I needed then. That's perfect. So therefore, glorify God in your body. So my body belongs to the Lord. My time, therefore, belongs to the Lord. Because I glorify God in my body, then everything that I do needs to glorify God. That means my time with my body. Right? Is this simple enough? I'm simple, guys. I just kind of look at it and go, okay, God, can you make it real simple? I'm from Arkansas. No, I said real simple, not Mississippi. I said Arkansas. So, okay. That's a compliment to Mississippi, believe it or not. So, in Luke 9:23, God says this. It says, if anyone wishes to come after me, what? He must deny himself, take up his cross daily. Take up his cross daily and follow me. So daily, our life and times belong to the Lord. Let's go to the next verse, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Now, I've memorized it in the old King James Version. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But the life that I now live, I live what? I live, I don't know how they're going to say it in this because I don't want to get y'all messed up. Live in the life which I now live, I live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So this life I now live, I live it for Jesus. I live it with my time and my energies to honor the Lord, to honor God. If I go to work, I honor God. I've told my bosses before, and Greg and I were talking, this Greg over here, Terry's Greg, not LaWanda's Greg. We were speaking, probably last week or 2 weeks ago, we were talking about how we've had bosses, and he said he admitted this as well. He said, I want you to know, boss, I'm not working for you. Boy, that goes over well, doesn't it? I'm not working for you, boss. He goes, I work for my Heavenly Father. Which, if you work for your Heavenly Father, who's going to get the benefit? Your boss. So when we go to work and we work for somebody, we honor God. Remember, because this isn't my body, this isn't my time, but I do have a job. So I honor God with my time at my job to give glory to the Lord so people can see your good work, see you honoring God, and they go, man, what is it about that guy that makes him different? And then they want to know what it is that you have because your time, you're generous to God with your time and other people, they begin to see that. You see where I'm going? Are we connecting? Dot to dot. Okay. So in Matthew 6:33, the scripture says what? Seek ye first the what? The kingdom of God. Seek what? Seek, what's the next word? Seek ye. Seek ye. Seek ye third, the kingdom. Seek ye second. Seek ye 14th. Seek ye when you feel like it. Seek ye if I seek ye. I mean, whatever. I mean, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then it says that all these things shall be added unto you. Now think about that for a second. If you seek first all the things of God, with your time, your energy, your efforts, you're seeking, what are you saying about my time and my life and everything that I need to do today? I'm seeking you first. And then something comes along, God says, I'd like for you to take your time and go help so-and-so. That's not in my plans today. You don't understand my time schedule. I'm exhausted. I don't feel like it. I don't have time. And I am not going to do that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But this is what I love about the rest of the scripture. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, what? And His righteousness. And then it says, and what? And what's the next word? And all. Come on, you Bible scholars. And all. Everybody say all. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all. Now, I'm from Arkansas, and I always have to say that to kind of give you a foundation. So when he says all, I'm in Arkansas, and I hear the word all. I go, well, all means all, everything. That's all. That's all, folks. You know, whatever. All is all. So if I seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, the things of God, with my body, with my life, with my finances, with my time, with everything I've got, even when I don't feel like it, I don't have time to do that. I honor God with that generously. So God, I'm going to honor you with my life. If I seek first those things and then I give up, and listen, you're going to sacrifice time sometimes that you don't want to give. You don't feel like giving. It's not in your schedule. The Spirit speaks to you and God says, you are messing my day up. And then you go and give that time that you don't have. You don't want to give it. Trust me. I don't want to give it at times. I don't want to give it a lot of times. But it ain't about me. It's about what the Father says to do in my life. Because I don't know what's going to be on the other side when I do what God says. But I know this. It's going to be good. And God says, if I give my time and I give my talents or gifts or efforts or energies or whatever I've got to the Lord, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The right thing to do is, God, I don't feel like doing that now with my time. Can you please go help Tyrone today? That ain't happening. Okay, it's happening. So I go with Tyrone. Seek ye first the kingdom of God's righteousness. And then God says, and all. So what is all? All is everything that you've given up. It's an equation. I'm not a math guy. 1 + 1 = 4. I mean, something like that. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness equals. Isn't that some sort of a... I got past second grade, I can't remember. Some sort of an algebraic equation? Oh, you're in math, isn't that right? Something equals something. Put in parentheses, X, Y, too many X's and Y's. Seek first kingdom of God and all. I believe God's word. So if I give my time, my energy, my efforts, or whatever it is when I don't feel like it, all these things shall be added unto you. I think God can take your time and add it. I think God can multiply it. I think God on this side, by you giving your time here, can provide more time over here. Why? Because my God, nothing's impossible with God. Y'all get that equation? So if the Father speaks to us and He says, hey, Craig, take your time and go do ABC. I go, I give you 30 minutes, God. God says, I didn't tell you how long. I said, I want you to go help. When you're finished, you're finished. But God, if I lose that time, I'm not going to be able to do this that I need to do, right? It's irrelevant. It's not about what Craigie wants. We got to remember that. That's the whole position of this, is that when God the Father speaks, He knows about your time. He knows about your situation. He knows what you're going through. He understands the details. So God in the details is going to, you take that time that God says give, now that you don't have it to give, and you stretch everything out and you give it. Whatever that is. And I can't tell you, sometimes it's 10 minutes, 15, 30, an hour, half a day, whatever. But you give it on the other side. God's word promises, not me, that He's going to add. So if God is a God of truth, which He is, I'm expecting a little addition on this side. Not demanding, expecting according to His word. And so I seek His kingdom so I can get that on the other side. I belabored that. I beat that horse pretty good. So, y'all like that? Good. I'm closing in on the deal here. Amazing. So, you know, God specifically teaches us in Matthew to be givers. Now, instantly when we think of givers, we think money. But like we're talking about, there's a whole lot more to give than money. And that most important one, I think, is a real precious one, is your time. And on the Sermon on the Mount, He says, give and it shall be given to you. What? Is that Luke 6:38? Did I give you that one by chance? Luke 6:38? See if that's in the archives of all those verses that Philip can't wait to look at. There it is. Dr. Kite. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall they give into your bosom. For with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Amen. There's that same principle again. You got it? Amen, brother. So, if you give, it shall be given unto you. Well, every time we read that, we go, it's my money. It's everything. Give your life to the Lord, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down. You hear that? Give your life. If we say that He's our Lord, let Him be the Lord. You know, we love the Savior part. What about the Lord part? You're the Lord. You're God. You're the Master. You know me. You created me in my mother's womb. Psalm 13. You know everything about me. So I give you my life. And God says, and I'm going to give it unto you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Running over. And they shall give unto your bosom. God's going to give back to you. So you give your time. Guess what? It's going to be given back to you. Pressed down. Shaken together. I mean, God can take time. God's the master of time. If He can take the sun and drop it back a while, don't you think He can give you time on this end? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. That is God. But it comes down to a trust factor. Do we trust His word? Do we trust that our God really is going to give it back on this side? Is he really going to do that? Here's what I want to tell you. If you really trust the Lord, if you really give your life to God, if you really let him become Lord, I can promise you and guarantee you according to the Word of God that the answer to that is not only yes, but yes and amen. On this side, you will get it. And it's going to be more than what you thought. It's going to be unbelievable because God is that great. So, did I give you verse 27? And that Luke 6:30, did I give you 6:27? Oh, this is a good one. For some reason, I threw this one in there. I just thought that this would be a good one to throw in about your time. You go, what does that have to do with time? Let's look. But I say unto you that here, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. I'll help Tyrone. I'll help John. I'll help Dennis drink water. I'll help baby drink water. I'll help Greg. Steve, I'll help some of you. I'll help my family in here. I'll help you. I love you. Love you. And yeah, I'll sacrifice my time because I know on this side it's going to be. And then God says, but I say to you that here, and here's the interesting thing about it. I say to you that here. You know, in Proverbs, the script, there's a great proverb that says, listen and hear with understanding. Two different words. Like your kid. Listen what I'm saying. I'm listening. Blah, blah. They're not hearing anything you're saying. They're listening, they're not hearing. So that's why it's interesting that Jesus says, but I say to you that hear. Because there's a crowd out there. He knows they're not all hearing him. They're listening, but they ain't hearing. But I say unto you that hear, love your enemies and do good to them that hate you. Now, wait a second, God. With my time with Christian folk, that one thing. But if you tell me I'm supposed to love somebody like this, listen, there'll be times the Spirit of God tells you, I want you to get up, go to your enemy, and bless him today. That's not in the deal. But you know what God says? That's in the deal. Because I'm the Lord, I'm the Master, I'm God. I don't know, I can't tell you what, when, where, or how he's going to do that. I'm not going to say he's going to do that. But if God speaks, you get up, you go bless your enemy, you love on him. Verse 46. Did I give you Luke 46? And why call me? So everybody say that with me. Lord, Lord. Say that.
Lord, Lord.
Oh, yeah. Y'all say that with enthusiasm. Why do you call me? And why call me? Everybody say, Lord, Lord.
Lord, Lord.
Why do you call me Master? Why do you call me the Lord of my life? Why do you call me Lord? Not only do you call me Lord, you call me Lord, Lord. You call me all that. You call me Lord because you say that to me. And do not the things which I say. I'm not talking to y'all today. God had to stick this one in on me. I didn't want to put this one in. Anything, every now and then I can be religious and go do that. But it ain't about religion. It's about my relationship with the Lord. Why do I call him Craig, Lord, Lord? And I don't do what he's asking me to do with my time, with anything. Because remember, this is not my body. It's been bought with a price. My time is valuable. My time is precious. Me. But why do you call me Lord, Lord? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, Craig? Why? Why? And you don't even do what I say. Jesus, it says he's slow to anger and he's compassionate. So I can imagine the Lord for a long, long, long time, because he's slow to anger, he goes, why do you call me, Craig, Lord, Lord? And you don't do what I say. There might be a time he finally goes, why do you call me Lord, Lord? And you don't do what I say. Because if you remember with Peter, kind of progressed, didn't he? Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my, you know. I just want to throw that one in for me. You know, there was in South America, I'll tell you this little illustration, and we'll wrap this thing getting close. South America, there was a pastor that started preaching about sacrificing your life to Jesus, your time, your talents, your gifts, you know, all this, you know, being beneficial, giving your life, sacrifice, giving your life to the Lord. And so people in South America, I mean, not South Africa, but South America, they began to look at that, and man, God began to convict their lives. This was about 3 years ago. And what the people did was they were so convicted by the Spirit of God, they went, took the deeds of their house, and brought them to the church. And gave them to the church. I'm trying to sell my house. I could use the deed to my house right now. But they gave the deeds to their house. They got so many that the church, the pastor in the church and the people, they got together and go, we can't do anything with this. We got so much, we've run out, we can't even use all this. So they begin to pray and say, God, what do we need to do? So this is what God told them to do. He says, take those deeds back to the people, give them to the people, and then tell them this. Say, Jesus, this is Jesus' house. You are now a steward over this house. Everything that goes on in this house is to honor Jesus. So here's the deed back in your name, but you're just a steward. You're just taking care of that house. And they gave them back to him. So the people then begin to treat those houses as if Jesus owned them, which he did. And they took care of people that came through in their home, and they used their time in their home and everything else for the glory of the Lord. Now, why am I saying that? Because here's the truth in the reality of all this, is that your home and my home is not our home. You would have nothing. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same will bring forth much fruit. For without me being attached, you can't do anything. Because I graciously gave you this life. I graciously gave Kaylin to you. That's what I didn't start off. I graciously gave you your friend. I graciously gave you your breath. I graciously gave you the mind and the ability to work and do, be creative. I gave you that. So really, it's mine anyway. And so that's the whole thing. So my time, my home, whatever it is, belongs to the Lord. And that's the picture that, from that illustration, that God's, He's their Lord and Master. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12, I'm not going to read all of it, but it talks about spiritual gifts. God gives spiritual gifts, some here, some there, some this, some this. The New Testament speaks about the body of Christ, that He's placed us all together. And it's kind of neat how He says it. He says, I've even taken those that I'm going to paraphrase, those that really don't think they're important, and they have the job that nobody cares. He goes, I'm really going to honor them. So, like me that gets this, you know, I step up here and I'm talking today, blah, 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 or whatever. I do different things. God says, it ain't about you. It's about that person that's out here that's honoring me, Craig, long more than you. I just gave you the gift of gab. I've given them something that they do, and I'm going to honor them more than what you do. But it's not about who gets the most honor. It's about us honoring the Lord with what He's given us to do, with our time, whatever it is. When I was a kid, I started playing a piano. I begged my mother. What boy begs his mother to play piano? Obviously, it was the Holy Spirit. And I begged her when I was 11 years old, 15 years ago or so, that I could play a piano. She said I had to make good grades. I did. I brought her home. Says, this good enough, straight A's. Fifth grade. Okay, you can take lessons. So I started taking lessons. And I practiced, 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 practiced. I practiced what they would tell me, Haydn, Bach, Kabalevsky, Chopin, whatever. I practiced all that stuff, which is excellent, by the way. And then I played jazz and boogie and everything else. The Blue Boogie, my mom and I played duet. I mean, we jammed that sucker. You ought to see my mom and I play that. I mean, the pianos were rocking, man. Come on, because she's doing two hands up here. I mean, it's fun. My mom, she's a nutcase. So I started playing. In the seventh grade, I was practicing about an hour and a half a day. Seventh grade. You come home from school, you get off the bus at 4:30, it gets dark at 5. I lived in the country of Arkansas. Arkansas is the country, and I live in the country. I mean, it's time to go in the woods, hunt, I mean, throw knives, you know, play stretch, throw knives at each other's feet, throw rocks at each other. I mean, you know, it's time to play. I'm practicing an hour and a half. I finally turned to my mom one day, and I turned around, looked at her, and said, I'm done. I don't want to practice anymore. I want to go play. She goes, go ahead and quit. You'll regret it the rest of your life. Somehow, the smart kid, I was smart enough, because remember, I'm simple in Arkansas, I go, Mom says I'm going to regret it. I better not do that. And something clicked, and I started practicing. I continue to practice. Now, I get to give my time freely to play this. And it is a blast. I could play this for 6 hours straight. But early on, I gave time I didn't want to give. So God has added it on the backside now to where I can play right at my... I can do it. Oh, it's a joy. Listen, this is... Playing that keyboard on Sunday morning, to me, it's like, you don't have to pay me. And you don't. You don't have to pay me. Let me please play. Let me please, 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 please let me play. If Brian says I have to sit down, I'm crying for a week. So I'm always nice to him. I will send him candy and flowers or, you know, whatever. Please let me play. That's the thing. So there's time you invest. Everybody invests time, so in the future you get that return. My sister-in-law is a teacher for 5 or 6 years. She's been teaching for a while, but she invests her time and her energy to get good at that. Listen, there's things right now that you do that God wants you to take your time, the talents and gifts that He's given you, to invest those things in a spiritual sense for the body of Christ so you can get the benefit of what you all offer, because we all need one another. You guys have 10,000 times more talent than I've got in a million other ways. I need you. I need you. And so you've got to invest your time sometime in something so I can get the benefit, and we all benefit from it. So you take the time, hone in what it is that God's told you to do, and invest that time into that generously so you can, we all benefit. Does that make sense? So the spiritual gifts. I'll leave you with this. In 25:15, Matthew 25:15, God's Word says this. Did I give you that one? I probably did. This is an interesting thing we're going to leave with. Matthew 25:15. I'll read it from here. It says, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, according to his own... Everybody say that last word. To his own what? His own what? Like his own ability. His own... Oh, you're supposed to have that memorized in your heart. According to his own ability. Everybody say ability. Ability. He gave 5, he gave 2, he gave 1 according to his own ability. Do you want to know what the word ability is? I bet you do. Okay, let me tell you what it is. Brian. Ability means miraculous power. Do you know that? In that verse... He gave 5 talents, he gave 2 talents, and he gave 1 talent, each to his own dunamis, miraculous power. To his own miraculous dunamis power. You don't have miraculous power. Our God has the miraculous power. So the miraculous power inside of you is the ability to take things and to make it happen. So God's taking your abilities, your talents, your gifts, whatever it is, and He's bringing strength to it and life to it. Your time, God will take it and supernaturally infuse His power for you to dynamite, dunamis power, do and accomplish what is necessary to be accomplished. Much more can be said, but I'm going to close. So here's the key where I got with this. It wasn't probably one the angle you thought I was going to come, wasn't the angle I thought I was going to go. But our God has given us a power, an ability with His Holy Spirit. I want you to stand with me just for a second as we close down. And we'll go hitting home here in a mementos. Boy, it's hot up here. I don't know if it's hot out there. Where's that 20 degrees instead of putting people to sleep, right? It's like 90 in here. Is it 80? Up here it's 85, trust me. I'm sweating like a... And the only reason I wore a long sleeve shirt because it gets so cold in here. Wrong. Apparently I didn't hear the Lord's voice very well this morning at 5 a.m., whatever. So, here's what I want to say in just closing. There's not much I can say. Let me ask you this. Has the Holy Spirit spoken anything to your spirit today? You have to answer that. I can't. All I'm sharing with you is the Word of God. You are not your own. You belong to the Lord. Your time, your talents, your gifts, whatever it is that God has given you belongs to the Lord. Your life belongs to the Lord. Everything you have. This series is God wants us to be generous with our mouth, with our tongue, with our finances, with our speech. I mean the different one, the time and the money and the giving and the speaking. And so I say this, it all comes down to this, is that our life belongs to the Lord. Our time belongs to the Lord. Our times are in His hands. God knows what's coming around the bend. God understands time. He created it. So as we live our life, God's asking you, what are you doing with your life? Are you asking Him about your time, or are you designing your own time? Ask God, say, Father, what is it that I need to do with my time, even today, when I leave this place? What do I do with my time when I go to work? What do I do with my time when I'm home from work? Listen, there's a Sabbath rest. Take a day and rest. Take that time and rest. So let's pray. Father, we just ask You to take our time. God, take our life. God, really just take all that we have, Lord, we give it to You, which includes our time. And Father, I ask You to show us what You want to say to us about our time, our life, our direction, our purposes. And I pray in Jesus' name, God, for every individual in this room, that Your Holy Spirit, Father, that they would hear Your voice, that they've heard Your voice, that You erase out of their memory anything of mine that's personal, the God that is not of You. But God, let them know that You're what You have said. Let them hear and understand Your truth, that You love them. You have designed for them a life that, God, when they give You all, You will give back all, which is a whole lot more, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So God, put Your hand in theirs. Let them know that their times are in Your hand, and that You will direct them exactly where they need to be. We give You praise, God, and we give You glory this morning. And we praise You in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Any questions, comments? Greg, is there anything to be said?